Are unicorns always female?
They can't be, because how do they mate? Unless they're like the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park where nature found a way. Nature.
Edit.
Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to get more wine. Hold on.
Go get some more wine.
Skank.
Hey, honey, I'm home. It's time for your pegging.
Has anything ever been so funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast, the podcast for people who sometimes forget how good a red can be.
Cheers, bitches.
I usually drink a white, but sometimes I want a red.
The problem with white wine is that I get so thirsty. Getting my butt to a party, it's like putting on my makeup, putting on my dress, doing my hair, and then you're surrounded by like hot curling irons, hot...
Wands?
What's the tool that blows your hair
out? Blow dryer. There. Hot blow dryers.
I've had too much of this red so far.
I've had nothing.
And then you like get in a cab, you're like walking to the subway, you've got on a heavy winter coat, and by the time you walk in the door at this party,
yeah,
and the apartment or the house is usually already full of people.
And it's hot.
And it's so hot, I get myself a glass of white, and that is gone in 2 seconds flat.
Yeah, white is for hydration, red is for getting wasted. Yeah. This is an Acquired Taste podcast. As I said, I'm Bethany. That's Kathleen.
Hello.
Sam is still on her hiatus. We should have more concrete information for you, hopefully by next episode. So
yes.
Thanks to everyone for being patient and awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about our episode this week. It's going to be amazing because, as we've said a couple weeks ago, we're really looking to embrace the weird in all aspects because we love all of you. And I think that you all have something in common, which is you feel like you maybe don't fit in all the time.
I never fit in ever of the time. So.
Yes, same. We wanted to focus this week on a weird experience that apparently a lot of you have had, which is being stuck someplace. Not like emotionally, but like actually stuck someplace, like an elevator.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to one of our taste buds.
Caitlin. She's amazing. She told us this story at a taste bud meetup over the summer.
Yeah.
And it has just stuck with me because she's an amazing storyteller. She's so funny. And she is who inspired this episode.
Yes. You guys told us how you've been stuck. We're going to read some of those. It's going to be a fun time. So take your pants off. Take your shirt off. Sit back.
Oh, take my shirt off.
Yeah, take your shirt off.
I will advise you, though, I haven't showered since Saturday. And it's Monday.
You know what? I love you. I don't care.
I put on an extra layer of deodorant before I came over. Hey, girl. Hey. We heard you went downstairs to get yourself a glass of rosé.
I did. I have it right next to me.
What brand is it? Because we're drinking 19 Crimes Red. What are you drinking?
Oh, that's my family's favorite. So.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they're obsessed.
Is 19 Crimes Red like a popular wine?
We get it for every holiday.
I think it has like serial killers or murders or something on the back of the bottle.
So there's an app you can use, and if you hold it against the bottle, the label comes to life.
Wait, are you kidding? Ooh. Why? I drink lots of wine. Why have I never heard of this?
Do you not buy your wine at Trader Joe's?
I do. No, I don't.
That's why.
Yeah. So this episode today, we're talking about getting stuck. And you told me this story over the summer.
About 3 years ago, I went to Chicago with my two best friends. We went on the Navy Pier Ferris wheel.
Yeah, I've been there. My mom and my sisters and I went to Chicago a few years ago. My sister and I went out after the other ones went to bed, and we went to the Navy Pier. It was really fun.
It's a lot of fun. And we went the weekend they reopened the Ferris wheel. We thought, like, you know, that should be all signs, like everything's going to be fine.
Right. New nuts, new bolts, new screws. Everything's in ship shape working order.
I remember we got online. This was going to be the conclusion of a girl's trip, a nice ending, like a Hallmark movie almost, but like three best friends.
Like, what's the Ryan Gosling movie and Rachel McAdams?
Oh, like The Notebook?
Yes.
Yeah, but with Friends. Notebook. Yeah.
And also, more recently, Dear Simon. That's a big finale with a Ferris wheel.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh, I have not seen that yet.
I haven't.
It's on HBO On Demand, so you both need to watch it right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we got on the Ferris wheel, and it's enclosed. So it's the new one is enclosed. So I don't know if it was different from when you went on it, Bethany, but it's enclosed. All glass walls. We were in it with about five other people. So it was a total of seven of us.
So it wasn't like that. So they just don't want people to jump out. Is that what's going on?
Exactly. And I think for like bad weather purposes. So the Ferris wheel started, and we were really social with everyone on the Ferris wheel. We're like, oh my God, like, nice to meet you. This is life. We're going through it. We're all like cheering. And it's like,
this is life.
Yeah. This is amazing. We're turned down for what before? I don't know if that was even a thing then. So we get to the third round and it just stops.
No.
So we're like, oh, it's fine. Like, more money for us because we get these beautiful views. We're like taking pictures. We did a group selfie. We were pretty low. We were the cart that just missed the landing.
So right. You weren't that high.
You couldn't jump out because it's enclosed.
We're locked in. So they're telling us over and over, like, everyone remain calm. It's fine. Like, we're figuring it out. So we're like, ah, take your time.
Getting the best bang for your buck.
Yes. My favorite part of this was that inside every cart, there's an emergency button where you can talk to other people.
What?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. So someone presses it from another one and goes, hey, I only have 2-hour parking. just 2 hours.
So when people are pressing these buttons, does it go to all of the other cars?
It goes to all the other cars. So someone else presses and was like, we're gonna miss prom.
Oh, man.
There was a bunch of people that, like, high school students that came on right before. They were all in prom gowns. So someone presses that, and then someone else presses, I didn't want to go to prom anyway. At one point, we made a sign that we held out, like, send beers.
Always be prepared to write.
So then they were like, okay, we're going to let people off one at a time, or carts off one at a time, because the power's out. You have to manually move the Ferris wheel.
Is somebody down at the bottom, like, cranking the wheel with their arm?
Pretty much. There was, like, 2 people on the bottom, and then I think there was someone, like, gliding the wheel.
No. This is like a cartoon at this point.
Pretty much. So we're now like moving like bit by bit. And one of the people on the Ferris wheel with us goes, I don't want to freak you out, which is the perfect start to any situation.
When you hear that,
you freak out.
And they go, there are black clouds coming.
Whack clouds coming.
No, black clouds.
Black clouds. Black clouds. I thought you said whack clouds. Like, those clouds are whack. And I would have been like, oh, no, man. I don't stand for those clouds.
Those clouds don't listen to Drake.
No, man.
Nah.
Those clouds aren't lit, yo. Kathleen.
Yeah.
As you were climbing the stairs into Kitchen Studio NYC tonight, I noticed you are wearing Bombas socks.
I am. My pink tie-dye Bombas socks.
That's how I noticed, because I recognize the pink tie-dye because I have the same one.
So I wear my Bombas every day because putting my feet into Bombas is like putting my foot into a bath of marshmallows. That's because they have engineers working behind the scenes to totally reinvent socks the way that they're supposed to be.
I trust any pair of socks that had 2 years of research and development behind them, which is what Bombas has. They have an arch support system that provides extra support where you need it the most, and it feels like someone is taking like their 2 hands and gently squeezing around the arch of your foot just enough to keep it secure.
Yes, the cushioned footbed.
Yes,
but
the cushioned footbed.
It doesn't add bulk. It doesn't feel bulky inside of my sneakers ever.
And a seamless toe, so you're not going to get that bump along your toes. It's so nice. And our favorite part, 1 pair sold equals 1 pair donated.
Socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters, but you can't donate used socks. That's just
gross.
Cool.
And that's monstrous.
Icky. That's why Bombas donates 1 pair of new socks for every pair that they sell. And to date, they've sold over 9 million pairs.
We wear them every day. We want you to wear them every day. And that's why we're bringing you into the cult of Bombas.
We literally wear them every day.
Every day. So go to bombas.com/taste and use the code TASTE. That's going to get you 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/taste and use the code TASTE to get 20% off your first order of Bombas socks.
Okay, so the black clouds are encroaching on your Ferris wheel situation.
So we start to we're all still funny, but like, do you know at the end of laughs when like everyone's like, and like it sets in a little bit?
Yes.
When you laugh.
Yes. Yes.
So we're all kind of doing that. And because we just missed the landing, we are the last cart to get out.
Oh.
Right.
Okay. So you're watching everyone else get saved and you're like, here we are.
Yeah, we're here. We're here. So then it just gets dark immediately. And now we're at thunder and lightning.
No, not safe though.
No,
not safe.
Wait, did you guys have your emergency rubber stoppers to put over your bodies?
Water started coming in through the top windows, so we had to like figure out how to close the windows, and then we're just swinging. So it got haunted like real fast.
Oh my gosh.
Did you start calling your family members to say goodbye?
We were posting on Facebook and I was like, we're stuck on a Ferris wheel. And then it was like, we're really stuck on a Ferris wheel. Finally, we get to the bottom. We're the last people. They pull the doors open. We run out and we're like, can we get our money back? And the people are like, no.
Are you kidding me?
I was like, okay. And they were giving out t-shirts to people and we're like, can we have t-shirts? And they're like, we ran out.
No. That's bull crap.
For the love of God.
Give you a ham sandwich.
Yes, can we have something?
Then out of nowhere, this like large man comes up with a large umbrella. And I was like, oh, he seems trustworthy. And he was like, were you on that Ferris wheel? And I was like, yes, I just got off it. And he was like, would you want to be on the nighttime news? And I was like, oh, okay.
Soaking wet.
Soaking wet. I'm sweating. I'm shaking.
Did he offer you candy? Did he have an unmarked van too?
So I did the whole interview and then another news car comes and they're like, excuse me, ma'am, were you on that Ferris wheel? And I was like, yes. They're like, would you want to do an interview? And I was like, okay. So as I'm like trying to fix the sweat in my hair, I thought my first like press line would be at like a premiere of a movie that I might start in one day. It's for this Ferris wheel.
It's okay. My first press line was when I got interviewed as woman on the street for this company that was parachuting grilled cheese sandwiches out of the sky. And I got one. And they were like, unnamed woman in New York City. What happened? And I was like, well, let me tell you.
Caitlin, I'm glad you're still alive. Is there video footage anywhere of
the news?
So funny enough, they asked if we had any Snapchat video. And we did.
No, you gave them your Snapchat footage.
Gotcha. You have to. The local news asks and you deliver, Kathleen.
Exactly.
You are a journalist.
And so they uploaded it onto Facebook and it was viewed 100,000 times.
No.
Did you get some new followers?
No.
What?
But I got like, there's people that were like, oh my God, it looks dangerous. And then like, those girls are dumb, like for going on a Ferris wheel in the rain. And I was like, oh my God, now I know what it's like to have haters. We went to a restaurant after and we were like watching the 10 o'clock news. And I was like, this is it. This is us. And it cuts to me and my arms are like flailing. It was awful.
It's so funny. You never realize what your body does until you watch your body do all of these strange things. It's like your arms have a mind of their own, man.
Caitlin, thank you so much. It was so great to talk to you. A taste bud.
Caitlin, plug your socials. Where can people find you and follow you? Because you're wonderful.
Oh my God. Well, you're wonderful. So my best is Twitter. I'm at Caitlin Regina, Caitlin with a C and an I. And then Regina, like Regina George. If you want to add me, that's fine. Just be nice.
Yeah, just be nice. She didn't know it was going to rain when she got on the Ferris wheel, guys.
All right, girl, you have a good night. You finish up that rosé and say your prayers and go to bed.
Thank you, guys. I love you both.
Love you more. You. Talk to you later.
Great, see ya.
Oh, God, I love Caitlin. She's so cute.
She's the nicest.
She gives the best hugs ever.
I love a good hug.
Yeah, she holds on to you so long. Like, if you were having the worst day of your life, Caitlin's hug could turn that day around.
Oh,
I know.
People don't hug enough. Heart to heart, chest to chest, soul to soul.
Bethany.
Bosom to bosom, yes.
Can we talk about what you told me before?
What?
Are you going to go on a date?
No.
Give me the details.
I got hit on by a dude who's a good 10 years younger than me, which makes him a baby, by the way.
Hello, sister. File that on your report card as A++.
I don't date anybody younger. I just felt really weird about it because he's very young. And it just, I was just like, is it past your bedtime? Like, he hugged me and kind of nuzzled my hair. We were hugging for a reason. Like,
you are Nick Jonas and what's his beautiful wife?
Priyanka Chopra.
You're the Priyanka Chopra of this equation, and he's Nick Jonas.
There's been some chemistry, but like, whatever, ignore, because I can't.
Can we say how you know?
No.
Okay.
No. But see, so then in saying goodbye, he like nuzzled my head a little bit and like kissed me on the cheek and said, we need to hang out, and like whispered it in my ear.
Bethany, are you kidding me?
I didn't know what to do. So I ran away because it's like he just graduated high school. My goodness.
Bad girl. Stop it. You don't run away when that situation happens. You get your on.
I ran away. I went and I prayed and I.
Let him touch your cantaloupes.
I don't, ugh, wah, I didn't know what to do, so I ran.
I'm going to take that back. You, at this point, may give consent for him to touch your cantaloupes if he is interested in touching your cantaloupes.
It was just, I did not see it coming because I knew he was younger than me, and so I assumed he was like, you know, dating a senior somewhere and waiting for her to graduate. You know, like, I just was like, What do you see in me?
It's like that episode from Friends where Monica starts dating this really amazing guy and he says he's a senior and then they have sex. And he's like, yeah, I'm a senior in high school.
Oh my God. It's like that. And it's like that.
She's like, you're not a senior in college. I'm 26.
It was just like, I don't know. So anyway.
I think you should invite him over here when I'm here. No. So then I can get to know him and then leave you guys to knock boots.
No, I'm not knocking anything with anyone.
Knock fruit baskets.
No, Kathleen.
Okay. Well, I think you should rethink this. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for receiving.
Should we get into an email? Emails from Taste Buds about situations where they got stuck.
Yes, I love this so much. Oh, we also have to follow up on people who lost digits due to ice skates.
Okay, let me. So last episode, Bethany and I talked about ice skating, how it's a really fun date because you get to like hold on to each other.
I inadvertently realized after editing the podcast and listening to it why I'm the worst date. And that's because I was like, yeah. And then it turned out I could ice skate. And like I showed him up and like I pushed him over and kicked him in the face. Like I didn't get it at the moment.
And I came clean about my fear of ice skating and falling like spread eagle with all my phalanges in all different directions and people running over my fingers and cutting them off.
Right. Which is why you wear gloves.
We got so many emails from Taste Buds about people getting into ice skating accidents.
Because we did not think this was possible because the ice skate is a little thicker than a knife. And so you would think that it would merely nudge the hand forward instead of like going over it and decapitating, what's that?
The finger.
A knuckle. Not the knuckle. What's that? A joint.
Yes.
Yeah, a joint.
Are we talking about drugs now or ice skating?
No, ice skating.
Okay.
Wait, so do we have some of those?
We have like 15 emails about people who know other people who lost fingers and broke their heads open and all sorts of stuff.
Okay, so this is what I think we should do.
Okay.
I think we should alternate. I think you read us a story about someone who got stuck, and then I'll read us a story about someone who lost a digit due to ice skating. Okay?
This is like we decided to start a business and we just went to Barnes & Noble and bought How to Start a Business for Dummies. Now you do this and I'll do that. This is the first one about getting stuck. This is from Liz. She says, hello, ladies. So one time I decided to tag along on an all boys camping trip. So it was all the boys plus me.
Good girl.
It was a husband and few of my close male friends. We were camping in a remote cabin in northern Pennsylvania. And by remote, I mean no cell service, no other humans in sight, and no running water.
I'm sorry. That's how you get murdered. Liz. That's how you get murdered.
Well, when nature calls, you have to use the outhouse. So, of course, the only way to enjoy this level of outdoorsiness is to have one or two or a case of adult beverages. So after kayaking with a cooler all day, we decided to sit around the campfire. And, yep, I needed to use the outhouse. My husband offered to walk me there since it was dark. But I was like, nah, I'm fine.
Nah, I'm an independent woman like Beyonce.
And I said because I was a strong, independent woman. Who is not afraid of the dark or animals, or I was drunk and overconfident. Anyway,
same girl right now.
I walked to the outhouse and shut the door, did my business, and then went to go open the door, and it was stuck. I shook the door and I shook, shook it. And when I closed the door, the exterior latch must have fallen shut. So I was too far from the fire to yell for help. And I was just going to have to stand in the dark in this claustrophobic box until someone came to my rescue. 45 minutes later, my husband knocked at the door and he's like, hey, you okay in there? And I was like, no.
I am hashtag stuck in a hashtag outhouse.
He let me out and said that no one wanted to interrupt me or embarrass me in case she was going number two. Needless to say, she peed with the door cracked open for the rest of the trip.
Oh my gosh.
That, because of the bug factor and the poo factor, that is literally my worst nightmare.
Yes, and also, like, when you go in the dark, we know, we went to the Grand Canyon, yeah, and we've been in those creepy outhouses. Like, someone could huddle in the corner and you wouldn't see them, yeah, and then spring out and kill you in the night.
The outhouses at the Grand Canyon were so bad,
you guys,
so bad,
you guys,
that I just decided to pee in a brush area.
Yeah.
I didn't care who saw my vajay. I would rather show my vajay to the entire camping trip than have to go into the outhouse at night.
There was one point when we opened the door and there were rats or something inside of it. Oh. Or snakes. There was something horrifying inside of it, like a tarantula king. And so finally, everyone just peed at the tree. And I had my headlamp on and I was shining it around willy-nilly because I was confused. And I shined it right at Kathleen to try and find her. And I just saw her bare butt, like hugging a tree and leaning.
I do not care. You shining a very bright professional grade flashlight at my a-hole is better than me peeing inside of that outhouse.
You guys, rat kings. Don't Google a rat king. Oh,
all right. So we talk about some blood.
Yeah. So moving over to me, I'm going to talk about ice skating.
Boot, boot.
Okay. This is from Heather. She says, hey, girls. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Heather.
Hey, girl, what's up? So first off, she says, I love you all so much. Well, thank you. She says, I look forward to your podcast every week. So I grew up doing ice skating competitions. Ice skates are very sharp, but kind of like butter knife sharp. I witnessed a poor girl growing up get her bare hand run over by her dad. And honestly, she didn't lose a finger, but a lot of blood and stitches were required for sure. My best advice to you before going on your podcast date is to wear gloves when ice skating. It will protect your fingers and hands. Thank you, Heather.
Tuck and roll.
Tuck and roll.
Yes. If you fall, do the egg.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
All your limbs in.
Since that was short, do you want another one?
Yes.
This is from Kristen. Hi, says Kristen. So this incident does not involve fingers or me, but it's horrible. The last time I went ice skating was when I was 10. She wrote, when I was 10. And a woman fell on the ice. She was older and could not get up in time. Someone ice skated into her head.
No.
There was blood everywhere. They basically cut open her head with the skate. They called an ambulance, closed the ice to get her to the hospital. But afterward, they opened it back up. The most disturbing part to me was that they literally just swept the ice a little bit, but didn't do anything about the blood, since I guess it was frozen. There was pink on the ice for the rest of the day, and I noticed there were other pink areas on the ice every time I went before then. It scarred me, hence why I haven't ice skated since then.
Well, now I just want to go to every ice skating rink ever and look for the pink.
That means there was blood there. She says, PPS, I had one of my husband's socks in my purse the other day. I have no idea why, and Kathleen's sock made me feel a little bit better about it. Listen to last week's episode if you want to hear about the sock. Thank you, Kristen.
That's good to know. Crazy.
Okay, Kathleen.
All right. Let's,
time for a stuck email.
S-T-U-C-K, stuck. As we're winding down the year, healthy habits are more important to me now than ever because I kind of want to get started before we hit Jan 1. That's why I love BioClarity. I love routines and I love their 3-step process.
Yes, they have 2 different routines that you can choose from. They have the clear skin routine that's for combination oily or breakout prone skin, or the essentials routine for normal or dry skin. So I have combination oily and breakout prone skin. This is why I love them. So 3 easy steps: cleanse, treat, and restore.
I love that BioClarity is green, clean, and naturally gentle. I always feel like my skin is just glowing after I use it, and I know why that is. Floralux. Floralux is their secret ingredient that's made from chlorophyll.
Their products also contain nourishing plant extracts like chamomile, green tea, cucumber, licorice root, oat kernel, and of course, Floralux helps fight breakouts, soothe skin, minimize redness, reduce pore size, and even out your skin tone. And with the clear skin routine, you can get results with garden lush ingredients in as little as 2 weeks.
I like the essentials routine because I have very dry skin and it's lightweight, but also hydrating. hydrating at the same time. And that's always a plus for me.
Yeah. And BioClarity is delivered straight to you. You don't have to get out of your car.
It comes right to your door.
Right to your door. And it's an easy to use 3-step skincare routine. It's 100% vegan, gluten and cruelty free. That's why we love them.
So get started with healthier habits with your skincare. Just go to BioClarity.com. Our listeners, that's you, Taste Buds.
Hey.
You'll get your first month for 50% off of a routine, plus shipping is free. And that comes with 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. All you have to do is enter our code ACQUIRED at checkout. That's BioClarity.com and enter the code ACQUIRED, A-C-Q-U-I-R-E-D.
Yay!
So we got endless stories from people about getting stuck in Disneyland or Disney World.
Oh, and it's haunted too all the time.
This is why I don't go to Disney.
No,
this
come
is
on.
Exactly why I don't get to go to Disney.
My family is going this coming year.
Are you going to go with them?
I think I am, and I think I'm going to take you with me.
I'm 100% not going.
You're little. I'm going to fold you up in my suitcase. I'm going to bring you along with me.
I hope you have a blessed time. I hope you have a magical day when you go. That's what they say when...
Have a magical day.
Have a magical day. When Disney employees want to say F you, they say, have a magical day.
Have a magical day. I hope you die.
Okay, this comes from Erica. She wrote, hi, ladies. When I was 9, I went to Disney World in Orlando, Florida, and we stayed in this lovely hotel. We will call it the Schmayat Schmand Kypris. Schmayat
Hyatt
Schmand
okay.
Kypris.
Cyprus. What?
I don't know.
I mean, she did a great job because I don't know what that is.
All right, we'll call it the Schmayat, which is the Hyatt. They had these big, beautiful glass elevators, which looked out onto the lobby of fresh tropical fauna.
Oh.
That's a good SAT word.
Yeah.
Fauna.
Fauna.
Mm.
I like your fauna.
Mm, or I'm fauna from New Jersey.
You might be older than me, but I want to be around your fauna.
I want to fauna your cantaloupes. One night it was thundering and lightning, as commonly experienced in Florida on warm evenings. And we were headed down to dinner, and I pushed the button and two elevators arrived. One completely empty and one was full of people, about 8 people in there. Naturally, hating crowds and socialization, my dad and I stepped into the empty one. My mom, who loves to talk to anyone who will listen, stepped into the full one, and she says, oh, well, I'll just squeeze in. Well, as luck would have it, lightning strikes the hotel as soon as the doors close, and our elevator stops short, chock full of people in between floors.
Oh, no.
We press the button, and after some time, the hotel staff props the doors open to tell us that they'll have us moving shortly, and they ask if we're all okay, which we are, and they ask if they can get us anything to eat. And my mom, being the ham that she is, says, oh, no, I'm fine. I'll be saving room for the dinner that the hotel is going to buy me.
Yes. Yes, mom. Good.
My mom is an excellent source of calm and managed to keep all 10, 11, 12, I don't know how many of us were in there, all calm and laughing throughout the entire experience. An hour later, after countless pointing from the bystanders from the lobby below and swapping opinions about what was going on in American Idol that season, FYI, I was right. It was going to be Ruben Studdard. We were able to make it to one of the floors that we were in between and finally escaped. We had a lovely dinner downstairs at the restaurant hotel, obviously at their expense. If you doubted this, you clearly don't know my mother. We went on the rest of our vacation without another elevator mishap. However, the kicker for the entire experience, only our elevator got stuck. The other one didn't. Had only we listened to my father and myself, we wouldn't have had a free dinner or the excellent memory. Love you guys.
Oh, that's so nice.
Oh, thank you, Erica. That
Okay, this is from Joyce. She says, hey, I know this isn't quite what you asked for, but it proves just how sharp hockey skates are. I'm a lifelong Buffalo fan, and back in 1989, way before my time, our goalie Clint Malarchuk was tending net when Steve Tuttle from the St. Louis Blues collided with him and somehow kicked his skate upward, cutting Malarchuk's neck and severing the carotid artery. He survived the incident. Now goalies are absolutely required to wear their neck guards, but it's a hell of a lot worse than fingers. She sent a clip of the game.
Wait, can you play that clip?
Yeah, you want to watch it?
Oh, my God. I bet there's blood everywhere. What year was
that? I hope
this?
So.
Barger sending it back in front now.
All right, the puck is going around the ice. They're hitting it. There's a team in white. There's a team in maroon, maybe? Oh, they're getting closer to the net.
Ooh!
Okay.
Larchuk. Oh, God, there's blood everywhere!
like it happens in the movies.
Whoa, you guys.
That's crazy.
Whoa.
I was not prepared for that. And
I did not think that that was going to have as much blood as it had.
And I am not afraid of blood.
Joy, the reason I played that is because Joyce wrote, don't worry, it's not very gory. It's very gory.
That is, the color contrast between the ice and the blood is very... very stark.
She wrote, it's actually fairly blurred since we recorded live television events with potatoes back in the day. Oh my gosh, no. If you, oh, that, it literally, it looks fake. It looks, because it's like shooting out.
I'm holding my neck. Yes, it looks like a low budget horror movie when the monster's like head pops up and somebody chops it off and the fake blood squirts
like,
everywhere.
Shoots out in an arc. If you want to see it, go on YouTube. It's Clint Malarchuk accident.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Don't ice skate. It's not good for your body.
If only he had done my egg technique, none of that would have happened.
Okay.
Should we do another story about getting stuck?
Yes.
Okay. This comes from Michelle McFarlane. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, girl.
We like Michelle. We know her. We've met her. Once when I was 15, I got stuck hiding in the baptismal tub in my church.
Wait, how old was she?
She was 15. I really wish the story would pan out like I was making out in there and that's how I got stuck, but it didn't. That's not how it goes. Okay, so my church youth group used to have a fun game night every Friday night in the summertime. Nearly 20 of us would meet every Friday night to play a different game. On this particular Friday, we were playing a game of sardines, which is like reverse hide and seek. Instead of one seeker and many hiders, the game consists of many seekers and one hider. The twist, all the lights are out and the seekers must find the hider and hide with them if they are able to find them. So I guess they do that until there's one left.
Okay, that makes sense.
It was finally my turn to hide, and I was so excited as I've been eyeballing a hiding spot for weeks. Our church's baptismal tub on the stage would be the perfect spot. But in order to get in, you must either go through the door or climb an almost 4-inch wall. One of the rules is that you cannot open any closed doors to get into your hiding spot. Since mine had an alternate entry, naturally I found the loophole.
Yeah.
I jumped into the tub, hid, and awaited the seeking. I was so quiet the entire time, holding my mouth so nobody could hear my breath. My eyes eventually adjusted to the darkness, and I was even able to see people reaching over the glass and feeling in around the tub for me. I would quietly and slowly shift out of their reach, hoping to not get caught. Normally, the hider is found by a seeker within the first 15 minutes. I, however, was hiding in my church's baptismal tub for an hour and a half. I considered myself stuck for two reasons. One, I was afraid of heights, and getting down is much scarier than climbing up.
Always.
And I was stubborn and determined to be the first hider to win sardines. As many people searched the auditorium one last time, sweeping every aisle of chairs in search of me, I remember feeling something on my arm, but I wasn't quite sure what it was and brushed it off and stayed quiet. Eventually, the youth pastor announced that all the seekers were to head back to the nursery, which was home base. This way, I could safely exit my hiding spot so that no one would know where I was hiding. So I got out of the tub and went back to the nursery, aka home base. And everybody was so angry because they were looking for me forever. And then I looked down and I was covered in spiders. That's what she felt on her arm when she was in the tub. Apparently, my church doesn't use the baptism tub that often. And there was a spider infestation in the tub. Love you, ladies. Michelle. Oh my God.
Oh, this is the worst episode ever.
God, Michelle, just go to youth group and make out with boys like me.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's why I went to New Orleans, just because David Rambo was going.
You know what? I really liked hanging out at church camp and youth group.
It's the best. There's always cute boys there.
Always.
Oh, cute boys love Jesus.
And there's always classrooms that are dark to make out in.
Yeah, I never actually made out. But I thought about it because David was very handsome.
Well, John from Ohio always tasted like coffee, so it wasn't that good.
David knew how to play Don't Speak by No Doubt on his guitar, which he brought to New Orleans. We were there for charity work to, you know, clean up New Orleans.
Oh, my God.
And I found a machete in an empty lot that we were cleaning up, and they said I could take it home.
Wait, really?
Yeah, but I forgot it, so I didn't take it home. But I was like, shing, I hold up this machete. Can I have it? And they're like, yeah.
Missed opportunity.
I know.
Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
Do you like my cool new pink glasses?
I do.
Guess where they're from?
Warby Parker.
Yes. We are so excited to pair up with Warby Parker because I have like 1,000 pairs of Warby Parker glasses.
I have exactly 5 plus 1 pair of their sunglasses. And this is before we partnered with Warby Parker.
So a few weeks ago, we got to experience their home try-on.
Yes.
So you go to the website and you pick some pairs that you like, up to 5 pairs. And for free, they send them to your house and you get to model them for all your friends, your coworkers, your family. Pick the ones that you like and then you send them back.
Yep. They ship free. You get your prepaid return shipping label and you get to try them for 5 days. There's no obligation to buy. If you're like, I don't like any of these, no one comes to your door and yells at you. They're like, cool, that's fine, but you're gonna like them.
Or if you're me, you're like, I think I want every single pair, which is cool because Warby Parker is very affordable. Glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses, lenses that also include anti-glare and anti-scratching coatings.
Here's the crazy thing. Almost 1 billion people worldwide lack access to glasses. That means 15% of the global population cannot effectively learn or work. But glasses were invented 700 years ago, so we should have figured this out by now. So Warby Parker partners with nonprofits like Vision Springs to ensure that for every pair of glasses sold, a pair is distributed to someone in need. So Kathleen, you and I both did the free home try-on kit. We got them. I tried all 5 pairs. I loved them. I chose one specifically. I was wearing it in my Insta story the other day. It's those rose gold glasses, frames. Love them so much. It's so easy.
And did you know they have sunglasses too?
They do.
That is next on my list. I was actually trying on sunglasses in the store and I saw a taste bud. I saw Alexis there.
Really?
And she tapped me on the shoulder and I was like, yeah, of course you're in Warby Parker. Duh, this is the place to be.
And if you have an iPhone 10, you can download Warby Parker's app where you can use their brand new feature, Find Your Fit. They measure key facial features and they use your measurements. They help you find frames that are likely the best fit for your face. It's all technology. So now it's time for you to try them. For the free home try-on program, order 5 pairs of glasses, try them on for 5 days, no obligation to buy. They ship free, include a prepaid return shipping label. So head to warbyparker.com/taste to order your free home try-ons today. Again, that's warbyparker.com/taste and join the club. We all love Warby Parker.
Seriously, Warby Parker, will you marry me?
This is from Melissa. We're back to the ice skating.
Okay.
I hope you, gentle listener, are able to, you know, figure out we're going back and forth.
Yeah, back and forth.
I mean, you're smart, but I'm drunk, so I don't know what's
going
on.
Back to the blood.
Okay, here we go. This is from Melissa. She says, I am not the one who lost their finger. It was not ice skating. Other than that, right on track. She said, however, my friend Kevin was on the hockey team in high school. During practice, he was not wearing his protective gloves when he fell. While laying on the ground for a moment, one of his teammates accidentally skated over his hand. The tips on 2 of his fingers were cut off clean.
Oh my God.
Luckily, they were already on ice, says Melissa.
But
The coach picked them up, rushed him to the hospital. Kevin's fine, but he never regained the feeling in those tips. You don't need it. Fingers are for show.
Wait, they put his tips back on?
Yeah. He just can't feel anything.
So it's just for show.
But fingers are, what do fingers do except make your hand look good?
I can think of quite a lot of things that
Nothing.
Fingers do.
I bet you can't think of anything. Another memory came to mind during your discussion, says Melissa. There's a professional hockey player named Richard Zednik who had his throat cut during a game. What is it?
How did that, I mean, again?
She says, pretty gruesome on YouTube, I believe. Amazingly, he survived. I can't imagine the terror in his mind and the others around him when that happened. What is happening to our hockey players?
Why does anybody play hockey anymore?
Why does anyone do anything?
It's very dangerous.
And then also, here's just a quick one. Cassidy sent us an email with the awesome title of No Finger Ice Skates. She said, when I was about 7, I was at a birthday party at an ice skating rink. And yes, a friend's finger got run over by a skate. He still has his finger and all is well, but it did slice pretty deep. So Kathleen's tuck and roll technique is not absurd.
See, I told you. this is a quickie stucky from Lauren. She said, hello, ladies. When I was 10, I'm just like doing a quick pre-read of this and my heart is hurting. Hello, ladies. When I was 10, I got stuck in a pool floaty. I jumped off the diving board into an inner tube and my hips were too wide and my girlfriends had to help me get out. It looked like I had a tutu on.
Oh,
love you, ladies.
That's Lauren. Amazing aim.
It's like a
well
cartoon.
Done.
Can I read you this one about getting stuck in an elevator?
Yes.
Here's the thing about getting stuck in an elevator. Bethany and I were talking about this last week when the microphones were off. When you get stuck in an elevator for hours and hours and hours.
Right.
If you have to go to the bathroom and there are other people in that elevator, what do you do?
Okay, so here's the problem. Because you said, Kathleen, you just dictate a corner.
Yes, that's what I figured.
And then you go in the corner. But if it's... if it's linoleum or a you know, like a hard bottom
tile,
right?
Something,
it's going to just immediately spread. And if it's carpeted,
yeah,
it'll slowly spread. But eventually all of you are going to be crowded into one corner the longer that the stuckness goes on,
yeah,
because it's going to slowly. So I think you pry the doors open,
mm-hmm,
and you aim for the chasm.
That little space.
Yeah, the little space. And you go, you pee into the shaft.
That is so smart.
What else are you going
to
do?
I would ask the guy next to me to take his shirt off so I could pee on his shirt to absorb it, maybe.
That's smart.
But
okay. Into a bottle.
So, God, let's say you just had chili.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. All right.
You get stuck in an elevator and there are other people in there and you cannot help yourself from going number two. What happens?
Okay. So then someone's going to have a water bottle or some sort of
container. No, you can't.
You can't
chili number two into a water bottle.
You can.
No, Bethany.
Not like a Aquafina, honestly, but maybe like a Nalgene.
If you can get number two into a water bottle eating chili, you deserve to be in the Guinness World Book of Records.
You're not. I'm not saying like a tiny, but I'm saying like a water bottle, like with a hole the size of
like a mason jar.
Like a mason jar.
I don't even know if I could do that.
I think you could. I think you need to believe in yourself.
I think about this stuff all the time.
I think that your self-confidence needs to be raised. I think that you could go in a mason jar.
I think I should practice at home.
There's a mason jar over there. You brought one filled with wine.
I did. Can you read that one? Wait, read that one. She got stuck in a shirt.
Here's where she got stuck in a shirt. Okay, this is from Marie. She says, "Hey ladies, I got stuck in what I consider to be everyone's nightmare. I went to the mall with a coworker one day after work to look for a cute shirt for my birthday. I already don't enjoy shopping for the simple fact that it's hard for me to find clothes that fit right for my extra short, curvy self. I found some tops in Express that I was already skeptical about fitting in because of how top heavy I am." Top gorgeous, you mean? She said, "I figured screw it. A little extra cleavage never hurt anyone, and it's my birthday. Maybe it's an occasion to have the girls out and about." Well, I had a really hard time getting the shirt on. I tried taking my bra off from under my shirt and told myself, "I'll figure this out later." I got everything where it was supposed to be, tucked my boobs into place, and I thought I looked really cute. So I'm like, I'm gonna get it. When I tried to lift the shirt up over my head, it would not move. I tried everything, and I mean everything. I tried tucking my boobs under the seam, but they wouldn't fit. I tried getting my arms out from the top, but it wouldn't go down. I even had my foot on the wall, hoping that would somehow help.
I'm still, she has her foot on the wall.
I was stuck in this shirt and I started to panic. I tried calling my friend to help me, but she wasn't answering. I was convinced I would have to go up to the register and tell them I was buying the shirt and wearing it out of the store because I was trapped and needed to cut myself out of it.
Can you imagine going up to the register?
Finally, my friend answered and came to my rescue, but it still took us another 10 minutes to get it over my head. The worst part was we were not that close.
Oh my God. This is a coworker you only mildly like.
And I was like, well, I guess you're just going to have to see my boobs. Oh. I was so humiliated, but I'm grateful I didn't have to explain the situation to a salesperson. I did not get the shirt, and I was too scared to try a size up. I've not shopped at Express since. And my friend and I never talked about it. I'm hoping it'll be something we can laugh at when we're both drunk together one day. Here's a picture of me in the shirt. Wait, here's a picture of her in the shirt.
Wait,
she looks great.
She looks great in the shirt. The shirt looks fabulous.
It fits perfectly, but you can see that she's, and the look on her face, I'm not going to post it because I don't know if she wants us to, but the look on her face is literally the emoji that's going with all of its teeth showing.
It's terror. Oh my God. She has such a cute haircut.
But you look great.
I mean, it's just plunging neckline, perfectly suitable for a birthday celebration.
Marie, amazing.
All right. This is from Michelle. She free fell in a stuck elevator.
What?
She free fell.
Is she dead?
She put it in the subject line. That's what caught my eye. Okay, she writes, "Hi, ladies. Just saw your Instagram post about being stuck, and I wanted to share my somewhat terrifying story that recently happened to me. Back in August, I was leaving work, and the elevator that I got into on the 8th floor began to free fall."
Oh, they're not supposed to do that.
"And then it stopped. Once the free fall started to happen, an alarm came on and a recorded voice stated, 'Please press the alarm.' I immediately pressed the giant red button and the alarm sounded and the elevator came to an abrupt stop."
Oh my gosh.
"Free falling one story may not sound like a lot, but for perspective, I lifted into the air like I had a full blown pit in my stomach roller coaster feeling and fell to the ground. I was in the elevator for 2.5 hours until the fire department came and lifted me out of the elevator. I admittedly was pretty hysterical the entire time, but practiced breathing, which helped a lot." Oh, and I was alone for this, by the way.
Oh, thank God, in case she had to poo.
Initially, she had a corner to herself. "My main fear was that if I moved, the elevator would free fall again."
Yes.
"So I stayed in the exact same position for the entire 2.5 hours and did not move on the floor of the elevator. My leg fell asleep and the pins and needles were so bad afterwards that I was in tears."
Oh.
"I learned after that elevators have a ton of safety features to prevent free falling longer than one story. So they automatically lock if they travel faster than 25% of their normal speed." That's actually really good to know.
Yeah, also, but still,
free
other words.
"I wish I knew that at the time. Because of the fear that I could free fall again, I really did think that it was the end for me."
Yeah.
"And that the silver lining of it was that I had 2.5 hours to look at my life and decide if tax accounting was actually fulfilling for me."
Oh my gosh.
"It isn't, and I'm taking steps to a different career and making more time for my family because they are the priority and not my job. Love you, ladies. Have a great week." That's from Michelle.
Michelle, that's traumatizing.
"I would love to free fall from the top of a building, like 51 floors, all the way down to floor 2, and then it stops."
That's called bungee jumping. All right, Kathleen, what do you think about when I say stocks?
I get scared.
Yeah. Yes. It has been something that I never really understood but always wanted to be involved in. And that's why I was really excited when I discovered Robinhood.
Robinhood strives to make financial services work for everybody. It's not just for all the wealthy people out there.
Yeah, and it's not like some foreign language that you don't understand. Robinhood helps you through it. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission free.
What I love about the app is that it's simple and intuitive. I actually understand stocks, like financial things, and it's easy to digest and it makes the data really clear.
And you can place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone.
So if you've never invested in the market before, Robinhood is the place where you need to start. It's the perfect non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with confidence.
It's like a stockbroker holding your hand and walking you through the process, but without the creepy factor of a stockbroker holding your hand and walking you through the process.
Do you know what I love when someone's like, "Oh, what are you doing on your phone?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm just building my portfolio with Robinhood.
I'm selling. I'm buying and selling." With Robinhood, you learn by doing. So you learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. You can discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds. And you can get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest.
Other brokers charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits.
So Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at taste.robinhood.com. That's taste.robinhood.com.
We've been getting so many holiday voice notes.
Yeah, so we're going to keep playing these up until the holidays from all of you who are telling us what your goals for the holidays are.
I love reading these, or rather listening to them as I'm going to sleep at night. I open up our email and I play themselves for me. I play the voice notes for me.
So this one is from Seamus.
Hey, everybody. This is Tesla McMahon from Staten Island, and this holiday season, I'm going to sing for everybody because, as Buddy the Elf would say, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Happy holidays, guys.
So Seamus is doing radio and he asked for his radio name and I told him it should be Tesla McMahon. So he's apparently taking that name, which is amazing. Okay,
we have a couple more.
Yes, we have some more. So this one is from Dan.
Hi, this is Dan from Minnesota. And this Christmas, I'm going to do all my Christmas shopping on December 24th.
Stop. No, that's a bad idea. Okay. No, erase, erase, erase. Dan
is aiming high. Okay, all right. And then we have one. Who's this one from?
This is Maria from Indiana.
Hi, this is Dan from Minnesota.
Huh?
And this Christmas, I'm going to go far away where no one will ever find me.
Playing a trick on us. Are you kidding me?
Okay, this one is from somebody named Tim.
Hi, this is Dan from Minnesota. And this Christmas, I'm only going to buy top shelf booze.
No. Wait, how many email addresses did Dan make up for this?
No. Okay, I don't know who this is from. We'll just say that. Hold on.
Hi, this is Dan from Minnesota. And this Christmas, I'm going to pretend to like my family.
All right, Dan from Minnesota.
All right. I'm just guessing this next one is from Dan from Minnesota. Hold on a second.
Hi, this is Dan from Minnesota.
Are you kidding me?
And this Christmas, I'm going to put on pants.
Dan from Minnesota. Glad that you're going to be wearing pants.
I like that. I like how involved Dan is. Okay, this one is from Sam.
Hi, guys. This is Sam from Northern New Jersey. My goal for the holiday season is to make a credit card payment at least once a week so I can better lie to myself about exactly how much money I'm spending.
I approve.
Love that.
I am in favor of taking good steps for bad reasons. And that's a good one, Sam.
I haven't paid my credit card in like 2 months. So
you have to pay your credit card.
I love surprises.
No, that's not the kind of surprise you want.
No, it is.
Nuh-uh. All right. And then the last one for this week, this is from Chris.
Hey, this is Chris from Minnesota. This Christmas, I will create a regifting matrix designed to prevent anyone from discovering my shame.
Wait, I feel like Chris and Dan are friends.
I like that we have a large Minnesota contingency.
Someone's playing a trick on us.
Chris, if you figure out that regifting matrix, will you please send a template over
to
us? We would love. We want to hear your goals for the holiday season. Shoot us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. Just email a voice note
with
10 to 15 seconds.
Subject line, voice note.
Yeah.
Or holiday voice note.
And then like tell us where you're from and what your goal is.
Speaking of voice notes, and I feel like this is applicable to the holiday season. What I learned this week is that the word resilience has the power to heal.
Explain yourself.
Have you ever shopped at that website, bandu.com?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous site. Super colorful. I love all of their graphic design. I often look at that website for inspiration when I'm feeling like the colors aren't coming to me.
Like it's bandu.com. Okay, cool.
The owner and creator of that company is called, her name is Jen Gotch.
Okay.
And she has this fabulous podcast called Jen Gotch is Okay.
Okay.
And she spoke this week and I was just crying in the car on my way over to Kitchen Studio NYC, listening to Jen Gotch's podcast about resilience and how resilience in life doesn't mean that you always have your ish together. It doesn't mean that sometimes you're not on the floor crying, curled up in fetal position. It just means that no matter what, you keep going.
Mm.
And I don't want to bring this podcast down.
No, not at all. Not at all. But someone already bled out of their carotid arteries, so
did.
I feel like anything is fine now.
I got a text message from a friend over Thanksgiving break, and she was home with her family, and she was coming to some realizations, speaking with her family, and she wrote to me, "I need to start over. I need to start my life over."
Oh, wow.
Things are not working the way I'm going, and as my friend, I need to lay out this plan for you so you know what I'm going through so you can help me along the way. And I thought, A, what an incredibly brave thing to do. And B, she's resilient.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bethany's cat is scratching at the
Loki
door right
just
now.
Wants to get out. Loki, stop it, buddy. Come here.
I don't know if I want to surround myself with people who don't have that drive to just keep moving forward.
It's so interesting you say that, because I have a lot of people in my family who identify themselves by illnesses they have,
yeah,
or by struggles that they've had.
Yes.
And that's sort of where they stay.
Yes.
And
I do too. I have a family member who does that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that there's always been something about that that bothers me. And I think this is what it is. It's that they're not being resilient. It's they're choosing to sort of stay where they are, mm-hmm, in whatever that pain was or whatever that illness is. And illness is no joke. Chronic illness is
no joke.
Horrible.
Yeah.
But I also know people who have chronic illnesses who are like, this is a part of me, but I also have other parts and I also am, you know, living, yeah, a life.
And this chronic illness doesn't define me.
Yeah. And I've always tried to figure out what that is. And you just defined it. It's that resilience.
It's a word that doesn't come up that much.
Yeah. It's a subtle quality that a lot of people have, but you don't realize they have it. Until you look for it.
Resilience, I think, is one of the most important qualities that somebody can have.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause something fails, you fail, life fails, life around you crumbles to the floor, and you still pick yourself up and you keep going.
Yeah. And we have a lot of listeners who are crazy resilient. Like we get your emails and we usually are not able to answer them just because we are barely staying afloat in terms of like staying on top of everything. But we read them, and you people listening have just overcome so much and are overcoming so much, and like getting stuck in elevators and then realizing that you're not living your life's dream. And so like moving in careers to something else. And I'm consistently floored by everyone's desire to like get better and keep going.
Keep
and
moving forward.
That's an awesome word. I love that word.
So what I learned this week is resilience.
Yeah.
Resilient is the most important word to me right now.
I love that, Kathleen. Thank you.
You're welcome. What did you learn this week, Bethany?
So I felt really lucky because one of the things we talk about on this podcast is how important mental health is, and like take care of yourself. And, you know, therapy is a really good thing if you need it. And around the same time, I got reached out to by somebody who has started this really awesome campaign. She sent me this tote. It says hashtag therapy is cool.
I love that.
Because therapy is cool.
Therapy is cool.
And there should not be a stigma. And if you go to the website, literally hashtag, like you write out hashtag therapy is cool. I believe it's .com. And it's basically an action committee to try and take the stigma away from going to therapy and you taking steps that you need to make yourself okay.
There's no shame.
No, not at all. Like their website says 1 in 5 Americans are affected by mental health conditions. I think that number is probably higher. Yes. I think it's just underreported.
Yeah, because people are afraid to admit that, yeah, they're suffering.
Yeah. But so anyway, so I just wanted to like shout them out.
That's the most badass tote bag ever.
I love it. I just want to like rock it on the subway, uh-huh, and have somebody see it and think, oh, okay, like I don't have to be embarrassed to go to therapy, because guess what? Therapy is the best. You get to talk about yourself for an hour and you don't even have to ask your therapist how they are, because guess what? They don't want you to. It's all about you.
I wish that people would brag about going to therapy like they brag about going to spa appointments.
Yes.
Like today I got a facial. It was so nice.
And then I talked to Linda for an hour and we regressed into my childhood. So anyway, again, I'm not getting paid for this. Like, I just think it's so important and I really love that they're doing this. So the website is #therapyiscool.com and you spell out the word hashtag. And if you are like, oh, therapy is embarrassing. No, it's not. I go every week. I go tomorrow, actually.
It's not embarrassing.
My therapist is great.
I'm going to get that tattooed on my forehead.
My therapist is great. Yes.
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
It's a Monday night episode in Kitchen Studio NYC.
Yes.
We decided to throw ourselves a little Monday night party with you guys.
Yes. We love you so much. You can find us online. So find our personal socials. Kathleen, where are you?
I am at WebGirlKathleen on everything.
And I am Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. I am Radio Bethany on Twitter.
You can follow us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
We told you our email earlier, but an Acquired Taste Podcast at gmail.com.
And if you would like to send us some snail mail, we love getting it. So you can reach us at an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And public service announcement, wear gloves when you're ice skating.
Please.
We want you to keep all your fingers.